ever look out into the vast sea of the universe?
The universe.
And challenge even your own imagination?
Imagination?
You don't think we're alone, do you?
Do you? Do you?
When you hear that the government is doing something, you always believe it, don't you? We are your third eye.
This is Chasing Prophecy.
Challenging your beliefs and pushing the boundaries of your imagination. If it's unexplained, we're talking about it. Whether you're a believer or a skeptic, we cover everything from political mayhem and tyranny to alien abductions and paranormal phenomena. You
are not alone.
Are not alone.
This is the Chasing Prophecy radio program. And now your hosts, Jenny Nicasio.
All right, everyone. Sorry, we're having a little technical difficulty. So I hope you can hear me now. Oh, there he is. Okay. So I just want to let you know we're going to start over because I think there's little bugs in. It looks like my intro was moved. My background was moved. So let's start over. Okay. So I'm not sure if everything was on. So hello, New Orleans on FM 107.7 and 105.3 in Henderson Point, Mississippi, and streaming everywhere around the world. I'm Jenny Nicasio. Welcome you to Chasing Prophecy Radio. I encourage everyone in the chat to get involved. And if you have any questions, please comment and please don't hesitate. I want to make sure the stream, I want to make sure that my guest is, yes, he is. He's in the green room. So I just want to make sure. So don't hesitate to post your interactions in the chat. It makes our show more dynamic and more engaging. So make sure you do that. And I'm generally thrilled to have each of you with us tonight. And thank you for welcoming you back to the show. And if you're a new person, I hope you come back. So your presence and participation are what make Chasing Prophecy a success. So keep those comments coming and share our broadcast. Your support helps us grow, and each and every listener means a lot to us. And so let's not forget to show our proudly to say that our show is sponsored by United Public Radio. talk radio. There's a number of different shows on the website. The archives are there. You can listen to us. And there's a lot of shows on Roku. So let's help bring this show and make it more fun. So the more people involved, the better it is. So tonight we have a truly fascinating guest, Mark Anthony Raines, and I might be saying his name wrong, so I apologize. He's not just a researcher of the paranormal. He's a cryptozoologist, and I don't know exactly what that is, so he's going to come on. And he's also an author, so he can explain everything. But also, someone who has walked the thin line between life and death. There's not too many. So I want to welcome Mark to the show. Let me go ahead and bring Mark on. Welcome to the show, Mark. I'm so glad to hear you. Unfortunately, I don't hear you. There you go. I was worried.
It was the gremlins, my end. I had a fight.
Yeah, you have gremlins over there. Yeah. Well, Mark, so, I want to welcome you to the show. Your story begins with an experience that few have lived to tell, a near-death experience. So this brush with the other side, it changed you, and didn't it?
Yes, it did, really. It's more of audio experience than a visual experience. I know most people have a visual experience, but I had an audio experience. Well, the background was I was very, very ill. I had a blood sugar count of 1, 2, 4. I was taken into hospital, obviously straight to ED, then straight to ICU. And whilst I was in the coma state that they put you in, I heard a woman's voice I never heard before or since telling me to wake up. And I had a very overwhelming feeling to wake up, the strongest feeling I've ever had to wake up. And I tried to rationalize it. Was it the drugs? You know, because sometimes when you're full of chemicals, you may be hallucinating. Or could it be a nurse? Face I saw, or could it have been my wife's? But no, it wasn't, none of that. I did, I seriously believe it was my guardian angel telling me, sorry, mate, it's not your time yet. You know, it's time for you to come back. And after that, I had more pull towards the paranormal and other subjects because it sort of influenced me more. It made me more aware of myself, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
I think I do. So this experience made you more aware of what was going on with you or everything around you.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, because it's a strange thing. Because also, why I got the name Ghost Man for most of my shows and my image and all that is because whilst I was in my coma, I was neither in this world or the next world.
So what did you see? You said you didn't see it, but you heard it.
Yeah, I did hear it. It was a very strong female voice. Very strong. I know that's odd. I know most people have
visual experiences going to this beautiful, beautiful place, but yours is more auditory.
Yeah. And I spoke to other people who have had this experience. And believe it or not, there is a sort of club for near-death experience.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people who have these experiences. And it's just not like, but theirs is more where they actually go down a light. They see this tunnel with a bright light. And they see past, like, relatives who passed on. So go ahead and recap exactly what, okay, you're in a coma. What happened? How did you get in a coma again?
Well, basically, I was in a diabetic overload.
Okay, so it was a diabetic coma. So your blood sugar was sky high. You didn't. Yeah. You passed out. So you went into this coma. They took you to the hospital. So you were in this coma. You weren't awake. You were in a coma. Some people don't understand what a coma is. Like you're some. I don't even exactly know what it means. So
it's a strange sense of. Well, the best way to describe a coma is really like you're dead, but you're not dead.
Mm-hmm. you're in a different
between,
world,
aren't you? Because they're keeping you functioning. You're not talking and awake in the sense of being awake, Well, I don't.
Okay, so did you hear the voice right away, or was this something that was there the whole time?
I don't know if it's straight away, because obviously my sense of time during that period is gone. I don't know nothing between those 3 weeks. Okay. Well, 3 weeks of my time in a coma. I don't know anything that happened during that 3 weeks at all, news-wise or...
Okay, so your mind is awake. You're hearing these voices. So you said it was a female voice.
Mm-hmm.
And what did she say to you?
Basically, just to wake up. Wake up.
Was it somebody in the room with you? Was it someone telling you?
I really don't know. I mean, this is why I've tried to examine it all, because obviously when you talk about this, you are aware that people are going to doubt what you say, or
yeah. So was your family there with you while you were in this?
My wife was around at the time. Unfortunately, she passed away.
Okay,
but she was there with me for that time, but I don't. It definitely wasn't her voice, because I would know her voice.
And did you tell these? Did you tell your doctor you heard voices, or your family that you heard? No, you were too. Okay. Okay. I just want to say this was a personal thing.
Yeah. I thought, well, no, you might be the white room and the padded jacket.
No. Well, there's so many people that have these experiences. That's why. Okay. So this journey took you on a path to what you call into a realm of what's it called? Cryptozoology. What is that? What is that?
It's basically the study of monsters, but not really monsters. Monsters is the glory side of it.
So know? it's a study of monsters, like
Nest, Cupacabra, Black.
Bigfoot. They actually have something like this. That they have is this a course you take, or is this just something that studied on your own?
You can just do. I mean, you can look it up. I'm a friend of mine who runs the most successful cryptozoology site is called John Downs. And I got very friendly with him.
Paranormal animals. Okay. Chasm. I might be saying your name wrong. Chasm. So you're the paranormal animals like dogmen, Bigfoot, skinwalkers, something like that.
All sort of things. Plus, it's like new species, like rare animals that are found in the Amazon.
Like something like on the island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah. It's okay. Sort of weirdy stuff. But. It's quite a lot of research into it as well. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of doubt, it can't be real. But obviously, like you know, every myth has an element of truth. You look at the story of werewolves, and then you connect it to people who have the problem with excessive hair growth.
Oh, like a...
And you could, if you was an ancient man... If you saw someone like this walking towards you and they looked like a wolf, you would believe.
That would be like a werewolf. A werewolf.
I think this is where it came from. I'm not an expert by any means. This is just my theories. But
okay. So tell us, what was it like? How did it lead you to explore this uncharted territory of Devon and Cornwall?
Well, because Devon and Cornwall is a strange and wonderful land. We've got the myth of King Arthur, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's well known. I mean, he's everywhere in Cornwall, Devon. His burial places here. He did this, and then the sword and lake, everything is connected to Cornwall, Devon in some way. And obviously, we've got the witches. We got the most, the last witch trial, which is in Biddeford.
Oh.
So the three witches got hanged.
Now, where was that? That was...
In Biddeford Town, which is in Devon.
Devon. Now, Devon is what part? Is that what part, like in the UK?
Well,
the only
way I could describe it is that I remember being at school, and this is a weird way of describing it. Imagine England as an old man carrying a pig to market. Wales is the pig bit. We're the trotter bit. The trotter bit is Devon and Cornwall, roughly. I mean, I know it's not very good for geography, but my geography has not been very good. So
where are you? Where are you at? You're in London, or are you somewhere like in a suburb?
I'm based in a place called Holsworthy, which possibly most people have never heard of. But there is a Holsworthy in Australia as well. So it's a sweet, wicked one. It's sort of like a reverse twin, really. But it's an old market town, which has been established for them since the 1800s. It's only a small place compared to most places in America. But it's where I live at the moment, and I enjoy
it. And what time is it? It's like 2 in the morning there? What is it?
Is it now? It's gone 15 minutes past midnight.
Oh, it's not too late. Hi, Cindy. If you're just joining us, we have a wonderful guest on the show. And make sure I pronounce, is it Anthony, Mark?
Just call me Mark. It'd be easier.
Mark. He had a near-death experience that led him into this other realm of cryptozoology, which is really cool. So get back to I'm going to make sure, Devin and Cornwall. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Cornwall. Yeah. Cornwall.
Okay, so that's astonishing. So it's incredible. And not every day you hear this stuff. So this is like a complete transformation from your near-death experience, your journey into cryptology, sparked by such a personal and intense experience that you had, and that come has led you to explore mysteries in your own, it's like in your own backyard. So Devin in Cornwall places, well, it's a legend. It's like a folklore. And what drew you there?
Well, I came here to be with my wife. It's a strange, if you want a little bit of personal story, I put myself as an advert in a biker's magazine called, basically there was 3 people who answered, and she was one of them. I met her in Bodmin, which is, if you don't know Bodmin, there's a place mm-hmm. called Bodmin Jail, which is a visitor site, and there's a lot of hauntings, obviously because it's related to hangings and... back then, you went.
It seems like London has so many. Like, there's Jack the Ripper. There's I don't know if you watched Penny Dreadfield. There's all these English folklore.
Yeah, Jack the Ripper is a very famous case.
Yeah,
there's also the vampire myths.
Explain that to me. You wrote a book called The Vampire.
I wrote. It's based on the original book by John Portelli. Padelli. It's just a rewrite version of that.
This really. Is a more, so what's that modern. About?
It's basically about how this person gets into society. He obviously back then, and people don't know where he's come from or suspect where he's come from. And slowly but surely they find out he's a vampire. And then it's like a gothic, mystical kind of horror. And I just rewrote
bits. Okay, so it's a novel.
Yeah, just to make it a bit more, modern. I wrote mm-hmm. a couple ghost paranormal stories. I wrote holes of ghosts about stories about Devon and Cornwall, and I've got one now out called Irish Ghost Stories, but it's misspelled Irish Ghost, misspelled Ghost by mistake. I kept it in there because I thought it'd make it more than this. Instead of Ghost, I put Geest.
It makes it more interesting.
Yeah, and basically that is accounts from the 1800s from people that experienced ghosts in Ireland, and it's basically that. Obviously, just what they said they've experienced. There's no way I've not added any edits or anything like that. I've just put down what they said or did, and I've just kept it like that because I thought, well, basically, that's sometimes you could. It's better to for the reader
just leave it
to understand what it might be like, because when you experience a ghost, as you know, most people know. It's a weird experience because I think, and a lot of people, there is a lot of theory. This is, I think sometimes it's big. You know, with the brain, we have still got the caveman brain in us, because that's why we have fight or flight. I think that's why some people are more drawn to the paranormal or cryptozoology or whatever, and it's triggered because back then. we were more in tune.
Mm-hmm. We have the reptilian part of our brain. So what is there any other experiences in the paranormal that you want to talk about? I know it's fascinating. And listeners, as you can hear, Mark Anthony, his experiences are unique. And they all
There is another weird one. I think this is going to be the weirdest one. And then there's going to be people that think this is very odd. Some time ago, we woke up by our we had a Shih Tzu dog, and we were woke up, and we found that the dog had been fed and watered. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds strange, but we didn't do it. My stepson didn't do it. And we just thought it was very odd. And also my wife, when she was alive, she swore that when she woke up, she saw two shadows watching over her.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's quite common, shadow people.
Yeah, it's like the shadow people.
Yeah. I mean, if people aren't aware what shadow people are, it's basically... they're forms of ghosts, but they're not forms of ghosts. They're not quite formed. They can be either devilish or for good. I mean, I think the good and bad is a principle that we could make the path, because we're all capable, as you know yourself, that we're all capable of bad faults or evil faults. But it doesn't mean we react on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all, you know, sometimes think, oh, but, mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we don't go out and act on them. You know, that's a myth. It's like I used to work in mental health, and obviously the theory about the full moon is true.
The full moon is so true, because I know I have so many weird experiences. It seems like I'm like hyper, and I get very emotional, and I think that's goes back with for the folklore of werewolves, how they go crazy, you know, they at the full moon and a 12 midnight they turn into, and I can see how it affects everyone, not just, you know, there's certain people who are affected more from the full moon, but there's more robberies, there's more car accidents, there's more people going into the psych ward. So yeah, definitely I agree with that.
And people say, they always say, oh, don't be silly. But you've got to remember that the human body is nearly 80, quite a high percentage of water.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously we've got the pool and the moon.
Yeah.
I think I've read somewhere, I'm not too sure if I'm right on this. Apparently the moon is moving further away, you know, not like suddenly.
You know, I've been hearing a lot of strange things about the moon.
Gradually, not, you know, it's not enough yet to be noticeable, but there is that theory. Also, there was something else I read about the Earth's crust. The Earth's is slowing down. You know, like,
oh, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyone in the chat, hi Cindy, hi Mark. If you have any questions for Mark, definitely put them in the chat and we'll pull you up on here.
Yeah, I don't mind. I'll answer anything if I can.
Yeah, well, he said he'll answer anything. So again, I just want to let you know we're sponsored by the United Public Talk Radio in New Orleans. And if you have a chat, and we are here with Mark Anthony Raines. He's an author and a paranormal cryptozoologist researcher. Yeah,
it's
there's just
say one go, isn't it?
Yes, it's a mouthful. it's a big one. So let me go a little bit deeper. So whether it's a near death experience that opens new doors, the cryptozoology in the Devon and Cornwall. Is there any other thing that you've experienced in the paranormal, ghosts or any kind of, I know there's a lot of time traveler.
This is a very interesting theory I have, that, you know, when we see UFOs, yeah. Now there is, I'm not the only one that believes this theory, that UFOs are not technically aliens. They're basically ourselves coming back from the future.
Future.
So like a tour. like a time.
Some people think that's the shadow people too. They're time travelers.
Yeah. And also that the Bigfoot is connected to UFO as well. Because if you look at it, I don't know if it's the same over America. The time, the timelines,
Kazim wants to know, so what's the connection between the near-death experience and cryptozoology? I mean, how the first leads to the other?
Well, basically, it's all connected because it's a very, when you talk about these subjects, most of it is in a click group of people. Because if you look into cryptozoology is only talk about cryptozoology. Paranormal people only talk about ghosts or paranormal experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think it should be all linked because basically, as I said before, if you look at most history sightings, if you look at most sightings anywhere in the world, it normally would be a UFO sighting connected there at some point, a paranormal event somewhere at that point. And you probably would find people that have experienced near-death experience or seen angels or have feathers, like white feathers in the, and all this group of like, we're sort of treated as outsiders as such. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've come across that yourself, Jenny.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of... It's an odd feeling that you have these experiences, and if you're with your friends or family who don't have these experiences, you feel like you're the oddball. I mean, I've had so many strange. I had going back to time traveling. I had an unusual experience the other day. Last Friday, not this past Friday, but I guess a week ago. About a week ago. Journaling. I journal every morning. First thing in the morning, I do like a, people are calling it a Jesus challenge. I'm a Christian. And I journal, like I said, good morning, Jesus. And I just tell Jesus, Christ, everything that's on my mind, like all my problems, what's my day going to be like? I do a thankful journal where I, a gratitude journal where I write down everything I'm thankful for. And I'm doing this and I had my coffee. And I do this for about a half hour to an hour in the morning. I get up super extra early to do this. And I'm just getting into it. And all of a sudden my TV, like it did like went off and went on really fast, like a lot of static. And then I had like sound like the air and like pressure in my ear shifted a little bit. And then I just felt strange for a second. And I picked up my coffee and it was cold and I just got the coffee. I'm like, what the heck was that? Did something happen? I didn't pay much attention to it. And then I kept on noticing I was late for appointments and what did I lose time? I don't understand. I was just outside, checked my Fitbit and it said the time was different for when I went inside or I checked my phone. I'm like, what the heck's going on? And it just came to me day before yesterday. In the middle of the night, I checked the time and it said 6:05. So I said, okay, I got up. And then all of a sudden I looked at my phone and it was 7:05. I go, what the hell's going on with the time thing? So I looked at my Fitbit and it was complete. It's an hour behind. And I'm like, okay, how can that happen? Because Fitbit's connected. It's not to your iPhone. It's connected. It doesn't change. It does not change. Okay. So I went online. I start Googling and I asked ChatGPT. I said, what would cause this? I asked the chat in Fitbit. And he said, the only time this happens is if you go to a different time zone. Well, I haven't gone to no different time zone. So it blew my mind, like, and I go, oh crap, is this some kind of time traveling or did I go into a different parallel universe? I mean, it was so odd. Have you ever heard of anything like this?
Well, really, let's think about it. We always talk about time travel, right? Well, technically, if you want to be about time travel, we're time traveling now. Think about it. What time is it you're in?
It's 7:29 p.m.
My end is just coming up to 12:30. So therefore, you're in my future.
Technically.
Yeah. So, I know it's a technicality, but it technically is time traveling, if you think about it, in terms of the time traveling.
It is.
But it's people, crazy. I know people are going to say, oh, that don't be so silly. That's only a theory. But let's explore it. I mean, when astronauts come back from space, they have to readjust their bodies, because once they're in space, their bodies go like this. They actually stretch. You know?
Kasmin, yes, I was listening to Christian music, spiritual music, like worship music. So I don't know exactly what happened, but it just freaked me out because that, I don't know if you ever experienced when that pressure changes, but why would the pressure change when I'm in my, you know, I'm sitting down in my living room, my bedroom, and the TV did that kind of to stopped, it went dead, and then it came back on, but it was like a static. And you know, this happened before. This happened when I first started doing this radio show back in 2019. And I was supposed to be on seven Eastern. But New Orleans, well, this was on, now she was in Texas. It was on Beacon of Light. I wasn't on the UPRN radio yet. I was on a different one. And I wasn't on the radio. This was a podcast before. And I was trying to schedule the live. And for some reason, it says I was supposed to be on at 6. And we got into this big, I got really frustrated with the manager. And I said, this is crazy. So, and I'm not the only one who lost an hour. My son had the same experience at the exact same time where we lost an hour. So I didn't go anywhere. I was in my home. So this happens on more than one occasion. So I don't know what would explain that one. So I don't know. It's kind of creepy.
Do you know the concept of perception of time? Imagine you are sitting for a painting.
Okay.
The painter is painting you. For him, the time is going faster because he's concentrating on painting for you. You as the person who's sitting there, the concept of time is going slower because you're
sitting there, you're bored.
Yeah. So sometimes as you get older, as you know, when you're younger, time goes like this.
Goes really slow.
And as I'm getting older, I think most people experiencing this, I don't know if anybody else will agree with me, that time perception seems to go very fast. A day seems to, you know, you wake up, the next minute it's time for bed. You know, you don't even know where the day's gone. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'm the only one who experiences this.
No, I truly believe the older you get, the time flies. And it's kind of sad because all of a sudden it's time for you to die if you're really old. Well, today was a weird day. I thought it was Saturday all day. And today was not that fast. So today was a nice, I like today. Today was a good day. It wasn't.
Well, my time conception is a bit odd anyway, because I have a small vessel disease of the brain, which basically affects my cognitive abilities. So sometimes I may say wrong words or spell things wrong. My time.
See, I have that problem too because I'm dyslexic, and it really it's hard because sometimes I'll be reading something and it just doesn't come out right. Or it was like when I was in my 20s, I had this habit of reading a book from back to front, but I didn't actually read. I would always start from the back. And I was talking to a professor in college and she said, do you know that's what the Chinese do? I said, oh, that's strange. You know, but I don't know.
Because their language is written that way. The language, maybe. I think the language is written. I don't know. I'm not Chinese, so I apologize in advance if I've said any Chinese people.
Mark Christopher said, I experienced the same analogy in classroom as a teacher. Well, I'm teaching, time goes fast, but for my students, for a teacher, of course, because you want to get out.
But I think that might be because the students might be bored. Sorry, mate.
Yeah,
it's true though, but because at school, you learn some subjects you retain better than others. Now, I was unfortunately, I was kept back at school for a year because I wasn't very good at maths.
No, so I wasn't either, this girl was
kept back a year. So I always felt like catching up.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand that.
Yeah, exactly. Cindy says, yes, I agree with you 100%. My son also agrees. He is 39. And then Kazan said, Arab. And the Arabs? So what about the Arabs? They write, they read backwards? Is that what they do? I'm not sure.
It's probably what he's saying, yeah.
Yeah.
I as I say, I'm not an,
maybe
an,
I'm an Arab
expert by any imagination. But most languages, the most common language which people don't never talk about is Latin.
Yes, and you know what? That's something. They're going, I know the they used to have the Latin masses.
When they say Latin, people go say, what do you mean? I say, think about it. Every specimen, animal, flower, is always named after a Latin name.
Mm-hmm.
Always, no matter. Even if you was to find one, Jenny, it'd be Jenny Nancesero, something, something.
Well, Latin is a language that they want to do away with. I know the Catholic Church, they don't want to have Catholic masses. And, you know, the one thing that the devil, Satan, does not like is Latin. So,
well, yeah, it's a weird one because did you actually know there is, you know, when they go about the famous case where the priests go and exorcise people, like the exorcists? That is based on a real case. There is an actual division in the Vatican that is devoted to exorcism. I mean, it's only a small division. It's only like probably one priest or two priests. But it does actually exist. So therefore, they actually do believe that possession is possible. I'm not, obviously, they look into mental health.
Oh, yeah.
It's not, they just don't believe the person they go and see is possessed. Because
they have a special department, a special area of the Catholic Church that does that's all they do is exorcisms.
Yeah. It's a weird one because people think, why exorcism? I think the devil is himself a devilish person. It's only goes into you because you're willing to let it go into you. I don't think you can mostly fight it as a such.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's true. I think that most people that are possessed or they have no relationship with Christ, they have no relationship with Mary, the Blessed Mother, that they don't have any relation. They never go to church. They don't have any worship. So I think they're easier to be, you know, captivated by the demonic forces.
What do you think of when the Bible, when the Roman Church, the Romans, took out the women from the Bible? Because
what do you mean? You mean why they took out this? Like
there's lots of women.
Gospel of Mary. Is that what you're talking?
Lots of women.
Oh yeah, that's because the Catholic Church. To me, they were like a lower on the totem pole of the status, the second class citizen. Women got such a bad rap. They never, like, there was a gospel according to Mary Magdalene. They took that out. They don't want to even suggest that Jesus had a relationship with Mary. And they do say that the one he loved most was Mary, who showed himself. He showed himself not to John first. He showed himself to Mary. I mean, that's what I think. And
I think it's obviously it shows the times. Mm-hmm. And this relates back to, believe it or not, the current situations we're in. Because, as you know, with the Black History Movement, now I believe it's important that everybody should have their own history.
We have a question here, a comment from Alara. She said, my bedridden mother was moved into her new home. There was no room she hadn't seen due to a wheelchair restriction. One day she says to me, why am I here? Do you want these washed? After a few moments, she described the laundry room from top to bottom. She even told me of a sock stuck into the washer and dryer. I left and went into the room. Amazing. It's all I'll say. Is that considered time travel?
It could be. I mean, it also could be perception that without you knowing it, somebody could have come in and done it. But I don't know. If it's only her and her mother there, obviously that's not possible. That's Laura Lofstadt memory for 5 minutes of doing mm-hmm. that. Because don't forget, we do all things automatically.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
It could be. I think a lot of it is, I don't know if it's time travel, but it could be more perception that she just had like some kind of maybe telepathy or I don't know.
There's lots of unexplained things out there. That's a weird and wonderful world we live in. And lots of base things, as I was saying before, based on history. I mean, we try to take history out because we don't like it, because it's uncomfortable. We don't like, oh, we shouldn't talk about it. Because I don't want to talk about the slave trade. It's not nice. It's horrible. But when we got to mention it. It's like the war. We've got to still think about the war. Because without remembering the horror bits, we won't find peaceful solutions.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in the country, a lot of things that you have to stay in tune with it, or otherwise you kind of lose touch and you don't realize what's going on. There's just, I mean, I could sit here, even like that new movie that's on Netflix, and a lot of people are talking about it. I don't know if you saw it. Leave the World Behind, I think that's what it is, with Julia Roberts. A lot of people are thinking this is a warning because it's talking about like this 3 days of darkness. It's talking about how there's not only are we going to be in a war with China, but Russia and the Muslim countries.
It's always been a prediction that because most of these countries not being horrible or nasty, Palestine is like a Northern Ireland on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always going to be a very volatile place between Palestine and Israel. I'm very sorry to say that, but they grow up. Most of people grow up to hate each other.
Yeah.
And if you hate someone, you're more likely to go and fight with someone. I'm not saying it's perfect in Northern Ireland. There probably is still communities out there that don't like each other. But they've more or less settled that they don't want the situation that it was before. Because it couldn't carry on. You can't carry on killing for the sake of killing. It just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. So getting back to your near-death experience, how did this change your relationships with your family and your work? Did it change it?
Well, it didn't affect my work because I wasn't working at the time.
Okay.
But anyway, I told my wife and she was quite understanding. But it took me a little while to tell other people because, like I said before, it's like UFO experiences or paranormal experiences or anybody experiences anything. But you don't like coming forward because you know, the minute you put yourself out there, you're vulnerable to people going, oh, yeah. But we live in the age of TikTok.
TikTok. I mean, it's like, you know, there's just a lot of strange things on TikTok.
Yeah,
I don't know if you ever listened, because I go on there every once in a while just to get some stories, because there's so many people taking video. I mean, there was the giant door. Now there's a there was a video of a shadow over the moon, and people are calling it a UFO. They're seeing this, not just one person. And I mean, there's tons of people.
Yeah, but that's to do with it's just I can't remember the name of the word, but you probably put it in the comments. It's to do when you look at the something, like you look at a tree. A nodule in a tree. It looks like a face, like the face of Jesus, and
yeah,
you know, an Elvis and people like that. You perceive it to be, and when you look at it, and then everybody else says, "Oh, that's the face of Jesus."
Well, there's a lot of people who are seeing these. Not just that, but they're claiming that they're real, that they're just CGI. Like in the movie, there was all these, like in that movie, Leave the Earth Behind, how this big tanker ship came onto the sand. Now, was that real or was that like a CGI? You don't know. You're going to see these things that you perceive as real and they're CGI. They're not real at all. And that's why they're going to fake this alien invasion.
That's the trouble with the cryptozoology world and paranormal world now. because there's so many fakes.
Yeah.
It's so easy to fake things.
Okay, no, you're in the UK, so you're in London or this somewhere. Okay. You mentioned Bigfoot. Is there Bigfoot there?
There's a controversial theory that Bigfoot does exist in the UK, but most people believe it's of the paranormal nature. Not many people believe it's a physical presence, but there has somebody lately, a young lad called Daniel Barrett, found some what he thinks to be Bigfoot prints or evidence in the UK. But
think it's a physical, you think it's more like paranormal, interdimensional creature that comes in and out of parallel universes.
When you think about the UK, unfortunately, because we're small country compared to the US or Canada or places of Russia, you know, there's a lot of fear. How would it hide? Okay. Maybe I'm knocking it. I do believe they do know what they're talking about.
Some people, I mean, there's a video going viral that actually shows his face, and he's very strong. Now, I'm not sure. I believe there's speculation that he is a extraterrestrial, you know, that came here.
It could be an unexplored human. Yeah, a branch of human.
Something happened in the DNA chain.
Yeah, that survived without us knowing about it. Because of Darwin. We came from apes, blah, blah, blah. But
chromosome mix up.
Yeah, so I think that's possible. I mean, as I say, I'm no expert because there's so many theories out there. Lots of people would counteract what I've just said. They said, oh, no, there is such a thing, blah, blah, blah. But for every one argument, you'll find another argument. So it's just a controversial world. But I do believe it could be possible because everything's possible. Because we got the theory of big cats in the UK.
What's that? Tell me about the theory of the
big cats. There's big cat sightings in Dartmoor and places like that. And basically, lots of people reckon it's because we used to be able to keep big cats and big animals.
So like you mean that. Like a tiger, a lion cat, or is this bigger than that?
I think mostly on the side of pumas, I would have thought, rather than big.
Mm.
Probably could be lion, but we've got wallabies over here and we've got parakeets over here. So, I mean, wallabies were released accidentally into the UK.
Was it
subject to Connolly, a wild boar.
So
it's possible, but the big cat thing came from they brought the Wildlife Act in, so you couldn't keep a wild animal anymore. So lots of people think these animals were released into the wild.
Okay, but so they're not paranormal animals, these are real big cats,
And they're probably not the original cats that were released, because as anybody would know, a wild animal would adapt to his environment. It would slowly adapt. I think it's possible because it would be sheep, you know.
Okay.
And lots of farmers would find mutilated sheep, and they probably wouldn't say nothing, because basically if you told someone that sheep mutilated, they might think, oh yeah, you're in for insurance or something like that. I'm pretty sure that if I investigated enough, it probably would be enough farmers saying, oh, yes, there's a sheep that we found that was mutilated and we don't know how. It could have been a dog. You know, dogs are known to attack sheep. And some dogs, big dogs, can be mistaken for cats.
Well, Bigfoot is not a cat. It's a big,
it's an ape or an ancient human.
Okay, we only have like 10 more minutes left. So let's talk about something a little bit Christmassy, because it is Christmas next week.
Yeah, we can do, because I've just been recently doing the narration for the Christmas Carol.
I was just going to ask you about the Christmas Carol, because that was in London, right? Charles Dickens and the ghosts.
It's basically because he saw the poor, and I think he wrote it because of the poor. I think that's what you based it on. I think loosely based it probably on a character and used the character to show how the poor were treated.
So they were very good. I mean, Charles Dickens. Actually, I'm going to watch Scrooge tonight.
Scrooge is a good version of it.
I think it's very good.
There's loads of versions because
it
in its essence is a ghost story with a moral bit in it.
Basically, yeah. I like the book, and it was a short. You know, it's available
online. It's public domain. Anybody can read it. Mm-hmm. And I recommend
you can redo it to make it a different version. I mean,
I think there's lots of Charles Dickens ghost stories out there that nobody reads very much of, and they're available as well.
So Charles Dickens liked ghost stories.
He was a very good narrator and orator. He was probably like the first main public figure that would go out and do talks and express about ghosts and stories. And whether he was a believer or not, I know that Arthur Conan Doyle was a great believer in paranormal.
Yeah, good, Christmas is a good time to talk about. I mean, Christmas, I think, brings a lot of ghosts to the surface too. I think if you want to have an experience with a ghost, I think they're more apt to come, especially if you lost a loved one. I think that's the perfect time for them to come popping in every once in, you know, just as
we're all thinking. And say, hello, how are you? And
how are you? Just checking in on you this Christmas.
We've got to believe there's something.
Because if it is just,
I'm not knocking anyone's faith now, but if it's just that we live, we born, die. We do a little bit, we die, then most people would say, well, what's the point?
What's the point? You know, my son was telling me about Tucker Carlson, and he was talking about a disclosure of these aliens, and they said he said something horrific. We got a couple comments Edgar Allan Poe was a master. Yes, that was a good one. Very good storyteller. Okay, Mark Christopher said, I read the treadmills were invented for people who couldn't pay their debts. Scrooge mentioned treadmills. Would you really? When he says, are the treadmills in the full force? Have you heard?
Workhouses because they were. Yeah, there's a lot of workhouses. Holsworthy used to have a workhouse. Still people remember the workhouses, so it was around a long time.
So it was popular in England. You mean the real treadmills where you were?
I don't think he means treadmill. I think he means in the mills,
Christopher.
Yeah, I think he means that because he wouldn't mean like that.
So the guy in so there were people like that Charles Dickens story, Christmas story. They were mean. He was a mean boss. He treated their workers really bad.
Yeah, but they did. They didn't. They had children. You got to remember, the children.
They had kids working in the factories and stuff.
Yeah, they had kids picking up dangerous things.
That's terrible.
but that's the way it was back then. It doesn't exist now. But yeah, again, it's history. You can't deny it. You've got to learn from it. And everything has a history of some kind. Anybody looks into a myth, think of a myth, look into it properly, and then you'll find there's an element of truth somewhere in there. You just got to find it. It could be the smallest bit. I mean, there's a lot of people that believe, that the Bible was written by Jesus was a prophet.
Yeah, he was a prophet. He wasn't.
Yeah, people followed him. And then people say, how could they write it at the time? But you've got to remember, they were probably writing it as they perceived it.
Yeah, Mark, you're right. Workhouses. He was talking, Mark Eddy said, workhouses.
Yeah. I thought he was. I thought he got confused, but.
Yeah,
so it's all right because I only know that because I live in the UK. So I know.
Charles Dickens was haunted by his own experience as a child worker. Yeah,
Yeah, so it all comes back. See, that's why he wrote like that, because he thought he expressed it, and it's one of the most famous Christmas stories of all time. I would have thought nobody in the world has not heard of A Christmas Carol.
I love the life story of him. I like that. There was a movie out there. I can't remember what it's called, but it was his life story. That was really good.
Some of it's exaggerated, obviously.
Think it's all exaggerated?
Yeah, not all of it, some of it. Because obviously for film,
they
have to boost it up. Like any film, it's like when you read, when you see a film of a book, some films don't stay to the book. They just emphasize the book, because the book is different.
The book's always better.
Yeah. When you read a book, it's in your head. You imagine the character in your head. It's a bit like when people, I know I'm going off track now, but when people go on about the new Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. That's popular in the UK.
Yeah, and because they're going on about wokeness and all that. But they obviously never watched Doctor Who from the beginning. If they watched Doctor Who from the William Hartnell era onwards, they'll find there's lots of subjects about feminism, Daleks representing the Nazis, all these sort of things. You know, there's lots of references to green issues even back in the 70s about the Earth and all that. So it's nothing new. So I wish people would actually watch the show properly rather than judge it.
Yeah. Well, I watch a lot of the BBC shows. There's two of them that I... What was the one? Oh, geez. I'm in a brain freeze. It's the rich family and... you know who I'm talking about. It's not The Crown. It's the other one. They made a movie of it.
Oh, the Downton Abbey.
Yeah, I love Downton Abbey. And I love that. Is it still going on?
If you want to watch Downton Abbey, look for a series called Upstairs, Downstairs.
Oh, yeah. I used to watch that on BBC.
And that is very much related.
Upstairs, Downstairs. Yes, I used to watch that too. Years ago, we have a channel over here called QED, Public Broadcasting. And I used to watch that when I was younger. And then there's the one I watch on Netflix. It's called The Midwives. Oh, do I love that.
Yeah. There's lots of
called The Midwives. It's one of the... I really enjoy. I watch it. I just binge watch on that. I think it's great.
There's nothing wrong with binge watching. I think the people at my age still remember going over to. We had to stay up at 9 o'clock at night to watch something at 9 o'clock at night.
Who was the main character that was a butler on Upstairs Downstairs? I can't remember.
Oh, I know he was played by the one.
I used to watch that.
Yeah, anyway, it was just a very good show.
Yeah, it's really good. I love it. But we're getting close to the hour.
It goes so fast, doesn't it?
I know. I used to do 2 hours. I really like the 1 hour.
Yeah, 2 hours is okay, but it's 2 hours, long. I think sometimes you really need two guests.
Yes, that's what I used to do. But I was, so I have a show on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. Next week, Tuesday, we have Stan Gordon on the show. He's going to come talk. Today was December 9th, was the anniversary of Kecksburg. He was actually supposed to be on, I think, last Tuesday. So he's on this coming Tuesday. He's going to talk about the anniversary of Kecksburg and a lot of, cryptic, around the, what's it, Keystone, Ridge, and the Appalachians. There's a lot of strange things going on in the Appalachians too. But if you guys can join us on Tuesday at 7, we will be back on at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. And I want to thank you, Mark.
That's okay. Sorry, it's a bit late. Sorry about the memory.
Thank you so much.
We were there. And by the way, if anybody says, that doesn't say Mark Anthony Rains on it, it says Test with Mark. Ian, that's because I forgot to rewrite the bit, so don't worry. So don't worry about that bit. If anyone sees that, just ignore it.
Yeah, he's on Amazon. You can go check him out on Amazon, and he has his podcast. What's the name of your podcast?
Ghostman Radio Station. I'm on YouTube as Mark Anthony Rains, Ghostman. I'm on lots of things. Just look up Mark Anthony Rains.
Yeah, look him up.
I come up a lot. I've done a lot of stuff.
You did even a lot of interesting material. And I want to thank you again for joining us on Chasing Prophecy. Mark, your journey through the near-death experience and your exploration to the realms of cryptozoology is particularly...
And by the way, I like your top hat.
Well, you know what? I started wearing a top hat. I have like 10 of them. And I know this sounds creepy, sort of like Frosty the Snowman. When I put the top hat on, I totally am a different person. So that's kind of creepy. If you go back and watch my ones, the shows without the top hat, I'm like Frosty the Snowman. I need my magical hat. It kind of helps me. I know that sounds crazy, but
no, I want to thank you.
Thank you again for joining us tonight. Okay. And to our listeners in New Orleans on FM 107.7 and 105.3 in Henderson Point, Mississippi. Thank you for tuning in. And remember, the world is full of mysteries waiting to be uncovered. And sometimes the most extraordinary stories are within each of those who dare to seek them. So stay curious, keep exploring, and never stop chasing the prophecy. And join us next time, Tuesday at 7 Eastern, for another intriguing episode where we continue to unravel the secrets of the unknown. So good night, everyone, and stay safe. And remember to tune in. And bye, Sebastian. Bye, everybody. Bye, Cindy. It's been fun. You know how I always say it's like almost, is it 8 o'clock? Because you know who's going to get mad at me if I don't get off. Sean Kelly's next with Into the Night with Sean Kelly. So remember, keep on believing in the creepy stuff out there. See you next time. Thank you, Mark. And remember to like us and to share the stream, because the more people that see us, the better it is.